This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Gaze podcast. You can hear us live on Joy 94.9 Saturday afternoon from noon via the live stream at joy.org.au/listen live. Or tune your wireless in Melbourne to 94.9 FM.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, nail it, grade it, turn it, point it, to press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it, paste it, save it, load it, check it, quick, rewrite it, plug it, play it, burn it, rip it, drag it, drop it, zip and zip it, lock it, fill it, call it, find it, view it, code it, jam and lock it, surf it, scroll it, pause it, click it, cross it, crack it, switch it, date it, delete it, read it.
Good afternoon, this is Technogaze here on Joy 94.9, the show where we gaze into the world of consumer electronics, gadgets and technology. My name is Mark.
Hello.
And that is Raina.
Hi.
And we also have Michael.
I'm not saying anything.
Good afternoon.
Oh, you did. You just said something.
I just said something. Oh, shoot. Already
I've contradicted myself.
Yes.
In the first, less than a minute.
We don't do that at all here on Technogaze. What are you talking about?
I never contradict myself.
Ah, bless. Now, what have we got on the cards today for our roundup of tech news? I think we've first up, there's Tasmanian government are moving online, or I shouldn't say the government, their police service is moving online for lodging fines and so forth.
Getting app happy.
Because I'm appy.
Oh, that should be our theme song.
Oh.
Well, that could be for Technogaze 3.0.
What else have we got? Oh, Google have started their right to be forgotten request process that's mandated by the EU.
Mm.
And as a consequence, they've been inundated with requests to be forgotten by Google.
Mm, probably all from people from Germany.
Yes.
Now, sorry, Blermany.
What?
Blermany.
Blermany.
As Germany affectionately became known when Google had to pixelate from the Street View, houses, everybody in Germany got on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We also have a good roundup of one of Raina and my favourite topics. Apple, of course, have had their WWDC conference kickoff.
Worldwide Developer Conference.
Mm-hmm.
What is this thing you say called Apple?
It must be. Well, it's actually not the biggest IT company anymore. I think Google have taken that mantle. But
that was a bit of news, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But still, they are. They're making new announcements. New products are being promoted, and we'll give you a bit of a roundup of what was discussed during the week on that one.
China's also been in the news,
mm-hmm.
a little bit on the tech side. So we can find out about that.
Of course, that was related to Tiananmen Square, the massacre that occurred there. It's the anniversary of that.
That's right. And they don't always like to talk about it, but of course it's hard to block things that you don't like on the internet. Goodness knows, though, that our friends in China certainly do try.
Do their best, unfortunately. And of course, Windows 8. They don't really like Windows 8 either, the China
Turns
government.
Turns out. There's them and half the rest of the world, but for different reasons.
I was going to say an element of good taste.
Ah, jeez. So We've got a fair smattering of news, tech news to talk to you about today. If you'd like to talk to us today, you can do so by texting us 0427JOY949.
That's right. You can send us an email on air at joy.org.au.
Mm-hmm. You can speak to lovely Mushin and leave a message on 1300JOY949.
Yes.
And you can do all those things through the smartphone app.
Yes.
While you're listening to us at the same time.
Multitasking.
Amazing. Amazing. Multi-threaded. Multi-everything.
Of course, it is post-radiothon as well.
Yes. And thank you so much to everybody who contributed, a little or a lot, however you did it. We're just so grateful for every bit of help that you can provide.
Yes. And you can still become a member.
Yes. You're not banned after the week's up.
But the good news is the prize draw is open until the end of the month.
Yes. So you can, like, if you still sign up today, you can you can still be in the running to get one of the fabulous prizes that are on offer for
That's right. There's over $36,000 in prizes. There's things like a cruise. There's a little smart car. That's amazing.
Amazing.
A makeover package complete with very nice suits and hats and all sorts of things for the gents. It's very cool.
Mm-hmm. So if my nephew Nathan is listening, I encourage you to get your dad to get a membership for you for $22 for under 18s.
The nephew still hasn't signed up.
No, the nephew still hasn't signed up.
Oh.
But we won't tell him he's ineligible to win the prize.
His father might be though, right? Or
no,
mother?
Neither. No. Relatives, no.
Really?
Yes, our relatives.
Right.
Mm.
Well, shall we kick off with the latest in tech news? And what was the first one off the rank there?
The Australian Federal Police have been involved in a bit of a global racket busting.
Bit of a sting.
A sting.
A sting.
Yes.
I'm picturing SWAT teams crashing through windows.
I think these are virtual SWAT teams.
I think it's the other kind of windows too. Oh, no, no. But there were some viruses and botnets that floating around that affected up to 1 million computers, and the AFP has collaborated with the FBI, of course, from the US and a bunch of other countries there to help squash some of these viruses. So there was Game Over Zeus, which was one of them, and Crypto Locker was also targeted, which we've talked about here on the show as well.
Mm. And there's been a Russian national who's been charged in absentia over this, who probably won't be brought to justice because he's hiding out somewhere in Russia or the Ukraine, I believe.
In Russia.
And Russia, as we know, won't extradite somebody who's facing criminal charges overseas.
Well, Edward Snowden certainly knows that, isn't that
true?
And, you know, the complicated relationship that Russia has with the internet generally, you know.
As in they like to restrict access, but at the same time,
have yes,
very ready access to other things.
Yes, and there's a lot of the scams and stuff. Not to unfairly target Russia, but a lot of them do seem to come from Russia.
Well, I think we should share the love, and you know, China's probably in the same boat.
Maybe.
It's quite often actually for spam blockers to by default just go, oh, you're from a Russian domain? Okay, mm-hmm. We're going to bump your score up, spam score up quite
immediately.
Heavily.
Immediately. Yeah. A lot of the spam that you get that is, you know, for relationships and stuff is like, I'm a nice Russian lady
mm-hmm.
looking for, you know.
I get those too.
Do you get those?
Yes.
Oh, amazing.
Well, let's not get started on unsolicited requests for
attention.
I just look at Facebook, and it's like
I got two this week.
They still want me to get married. I'm like, I'm in Australia. Damn it, I can't.
I got two out of channel spams this week. One, I got the phone call, an automated phone call on my home line saying, "This is Qantas calling. We've got a $990 rebate for you." So I just hung up. And another one.
What if it was true?
It wasn't true. And another one was a letter in the mail saying, "Oh, we've got this uncollected money. Go to this website and we'll, you know, refund it. But it'll give us your credit card details because we'll take $40 out for the processing fee."
Oh, that was nice of them.
So that one went into the bin as well.
Mm.
They're finding all sorts of ways to get into our minds,
into our pockets, into our wallets.
Yes.
You know who else is putting their hand in the pocket, although for legitimate reasons. No, so the Tassie police...
Go on.
And the Tasmanian police, when they want to issue fines, which you know, sometimes they have to, it's, you know...
They no longer have to, get a clipboard out anymore?
Yeah, and start scrolling their stuff. They can do it with their tablet computer.
Mm. Or perhaps even their phone, which they would reach into their pocket for, possibly.
This is where you need RFID embedded chips so they can take their phone, scan it sort of on your wrist and say, boom, you're booked.
The mark of the beast.
What's the phrase that the English cops use when they sort of grab you?
Your nicked mate?
Your nicked mate, yeah. Your wanted mate or your scanned mate or something like that.
Nah, come on. All I know about British policing I know from the Bill.
That's all you need to know.
Which is a
pretty much all you need to know.
Accurate documentary, isn't it?
That's right. But the Tassie police, they're just using that for traffic stuff at the moment, but soon they're going to move it out a bit further. And apparently it's going to save them about 20 hours a day.
Wow.
Or you know, the workload of two cops who, instead of being around, you know, bashing on bits of paper, can now go out and do some policing instead. So
I think this is great use of technology. My only question is, why did it take so long to do it?
Well, you know what police organisations are like. They're a bit slow to pick up technology, and we won't talk about any IT projects that have occurred over over this side of the strait.
Well, that's the thing. This is actually the first police force in the whole country to have done this. So, if we're going to talk about who's slow, what's going on
elsewhere? Yeah. Mm.
I will relate it back to what's happened, or the Ken Lay. I think he's been talking about sort of being a bit smarter about policing and taking people off the beat, and perhaps putting them more in front of computers or that sort of thing to look at. I think, what was it described as? Not SVU. What's that show on CSI like?
I think CSI Cyber. Did you know that there's going to be a new CSI called CSI Cyber?
Oh, wow.
Really?
I don't.
That just sounds interesting.
It's not that kind of interesting. No, not that kind of cyber. No, it's a
sorry?
No.
Hang on.
I don't know. You just said interesting. I don't trust you. No, but it's a new version of CSI, which is, you know, I think beginning to rival Law and Order for the sheer amount of spin-offs and
true
longevity. But,
I had vision of a big room full of Russians and Chinese hacking away.
You kid.
For our police force or against our police force?
Either way would work.
You are listening to TechnoGaze. Because that news story was talked about in Joy News.
That's right. Thank you, Joy News.
From news feed.
The source of all of our stories.
Wow.
And being gazumped.
Yes. The Twitter handle news story. Thank you very much. That was ours. Was.
Beating us to the taken. Punch.
Oh, well.
Just too good, Joy News.
That's right. You're listening to TechnoGaze here on Joy 94.9. It is 9:15. We'll be back with more in a few moments.
All day, every day. Joy 94.9. On air and online at joy.org.au.
Techno games. Mm-hmm. And we are talking tech, and Google has implemented one of the requirements by the EU.
That's
to allow people to stop or to be forgotten, in fact, by Google.
Yeah, and by forgotten, what we mean is, or what they also mean is to have results about you removed from their index.
Right.
If that's what you don't want, which is fair enough.
So does this affect the underlying website where you're mentioned, or is it just the search results?
No, it's just the search results, as far as I know. So
if I said, okay, we don't want to see Michael Strauss in search results in Google, that would disappear, but the underlying reference to me would still be there.
Well, I don't really know what Google can do about your website. If you write something about me and I want it gone from Google, they would have to do that. There are probably some other things going on in the European Commission, in the European Union as well, where maybe you could do that separately.
Right.
But this is pretty much just about the search engines. So of the requests that were submitted, so Google UK is participating in this, Google Ireland is participating in this as well. Most of them are like fraud or scam allegations removed. 20% want to have records of crimes and things like that. So quite a lot of people actually want to get some pretty amazing stuff removed.
And it must not only be Google. It's obviously, you know, Bing, for instance, would have to comply to this EU regulation as well.
As far as I know, but I don't know if we've heard too much about it. The thing that's interesting about this, though, is that they're actually getting real-life humans. So rather than just going, remove everything that matches this string, they're actually having genuine human beings deal with all this, which must be a lot of work.
Hmm. Is that a requirement by the EU law to actually have that happen? Like,
yes.
It needs... Wow.
But the thing that I'm not so sure about is, does that mean if you're in the EU doing a search for me, for Michael, and I've said remove me and it's not visible, if you're outside of the EU, is it visible or not?
How would they be able to control that to the level that would be required by law, though? I mean...
Well, I guess source IP address, but that's not always 100%.
Yeah, I can just VPN... As an EU citizen, I could VPN out and then get access to that information again. It would surely...
Well, that's right. Yeah.
Mm.
Now, if you want your stuff gone in the EU, it's actually not very easy to do. So you have to have a copy of valid government-issued photo ID.
Right.
That you must scan and send in. You
must
also have the URLs of the things that you want to have removed from the index. So you can't just say, get rid of everything about TechnoGaze ever, if you decide that you just can't do that. You have to actually cite chapter
specific
and verse everything that you want done.
And what if websites have, like, they just pop up? Like, if it's an informational site, you know, they might have ways of just creating a new version of it at a different URL very quickly. Like, what?
That would be hard, wouldn't it?
It would be very hard to keep track of that.
Hmm.
Kind of, I don't know, I guess it was Facebook, though.
Like, yeah.
It's always going to be Facebook.com, right?
That's right. And, you know, there's no obligation on Google to do every single request. There have to be real good reasons for it. And it's about irrelevancy and some other things as well. So
I wonder if there's a timeliness component to this. You know, I requested it 5 years ago and they're getting around to it.
They're getting around to it now. It's a bit late. Everyone's Googled me. Onwards and upwards, though.
Yeah. Now, if you want to text us while we're in the studio here, you can do so 0427JOY949 if you've got anything to say about any of the topics that we're talking about, including the next one. Apple.
Drum roll. Shall I leave? I'll get a coffee or something.
You're perfectly qualified to be part of this conversation, Michael. You have in possession a...
Oh, don't out me.
So, yes, Apple had their Worldwide Developer Conference kicked off this week.
It's like a festival of geeks. It's the developer conference. Yes. It's full of all the amazing new technologies. It's less sort of showy what do you do, look at our new iPhones, and more sort of look at our amazing new technologies as a general rule.
Did we have a TechnoGaze representative there?
Didn't you do your paperwork? Oh my goodness. Well, it turns out, I mean, it was actually pretty tricky to get there because there were so many people that wanted to go and not enough room that you had to enter a lottery.
They've had trouble in the past, right? So to actually accept people to turn up to this event, and it's not a cheap thing to turn up to. Like, it's a couple of $1,000 to get a ticket. Typically, companies pay, you know, employers pay for it and that sort of thing. But it even then sells out within minutes of being opened, right?
It did. All the tickets disappeared in a matter of minutes. It was amazing.
So their way to fix that is to do what they did this year and actually make it a lottery.
Yeah.
Right? Like enter your details and we'll draw X number of people to be able to turn up.
That's right. And, of course, if you can't make it there, it all gets live-streamed and, you know, everyone and their dog who's there who has a blog or a Twitter or whatever was just tweeting and posting absolutely everything that was going on. So,
can I just say, one of the most frustrating things, because we live here in Australia...
Oh, yeah, you've got to get up at 4 or whatever it is.
Time zones are annoying, right? So, and then by the time you actually get to... Like, if you just, you know, go to sleep and wake up as normal, you wake up at 7 or 8 o'clock and you might be on the train going into work, as I was, and I was like, oh, I wonder what was announced in WWDC. Go find all the news sites about it. But all of them are those annoying blog sites that are like, they're reverse posted. So the first post was right down the bottom and you've got to actually like go, okay, I've read that one, now I scroll up. Now
annoying,
it's like,
isn't it?
Ah.
Anyway, so what did they announce, Mark? Let's talk about it.
Okay. Getting into your health information.
Yeah.
I wonder who wrote this particular heading for it, though. Did Apple just iTunize?
iTunize your personal health data. That's a terrible verb, and I want to have a stern discussion with whoever invented it. But what they want to do is they want to get all this health data that comes out of things like Fitbit or whatever and sort of mush them all together and put it into this app. So you don't have to keep doing anything different. You can keep using Nike or whatever it is, I think. I'm not really sure what all the apps are that work with it.
Nike's logo did pop up during this part of the presentation, so I suspect... Because they've always had a Nike relationship when it comes to this sort of stuff.
And they're going to expand their relationships with different companies now because they've got this SDK called HealthKit, which is going to be used to aggregate all of this, and they're going to build some apps that sit on top of it.
Yeah. And, you know, that was interesting. Because I think it was a couple episodes ago, and I don't know if we had much time to talk about it, but it was like, oh, look, Nike's throwing in the towel on the wearable health things. Why would they do that? It seems like everyone's really excited, but, well, now we know. I think somebody might have got a little bit of a hint what was coming out of Apple. And said,
yes.
It makes perfect sense because one of the problems is that everybody coming up with their own little, you know, jawbone equivalent or something like that. The devices don't talk to each other.
Mm.
So here's a way of bringing everything together.
Well, if they all talk to your phone, it just happens to be an Apple phone, then, you know, at least there's one central place to have it. But the thing about, and this is where perhaps the headline came of iTunizing, what happens after you get that information, what they're actually proposing is to have relationships with clinics, with your, you know, and I'm using the US term here, health care providers. To be able to have access to that information as well, or at least be able to sort of say, hey, this guy's heart rate is beyond normal levels. Perhaps an alert be sent to your GP, which then they may choose to react to that.
And it would probably be something smart, so that if the app detects you're on a treadmill and your heart rate is way up, well, that's fine. But if you're sitting at home watching TV, then maybe something's wrong. But I can't. There's going to be a shift towards people getting a lot of medical advice online in the future, and I can see an app that comes about that says, I've noticed this has happened to your blood sugar level. This is what's happening to your heart rate. I think you shouldn't see a doctor straight away.
Or from a more cynical perspective about filthy, filthy capitalism, but, like, can you imagine this thing going, hey, look, we've noticed we've got all this data about and stuff, and it looks like your heart rate's up and you aren't getting a lot of exercise. Why don't you buy this nice pedometer? Or why don't you buy this nice app or whatever? Like, there's a great opportunity there for someone to tie that stuff in, which... You know,
Apple's default position isn't necessarily to turn it into an advertising stream, right?
Like, not necessarily an advertising stream, but certainly a channel to sell more stuff for their beloved partners. I guess. I mean, that's kind of how it worked with iTunes. And when we say is that iTunesizing it, we're not just talking about we're not just talking about the convenience or whatever. We're talking about the fact that they are generating a market and allowing people to fill it with goods.
Encouraging consumption.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, what else? It's not just your body they want, but also your home.
Yes.
Not your heart, though. Not yet, anyway.
Your heart's part of your body.
Oh, true.
It's ours.
But home is where the heart is. And HomeKit. Hey, hey.
Is that a bit of a trend here?
HomeKit is a new SDK. Will allow your iOS devices, or maybe a Mac, to communicate with stuff around your house.
Now, this is... I mean, Google have made a foray into this by buying out Nest, which has got a pretty good presence as far as selling products is concerned. They've got a smoke/CO2 detector, for example, that's smartly connected. So perhaps this is Apple's version of doing this.
Yeah.
But it's only an SDK. Only a software platform for others to build upon. It's not like they're not actually going out and creating new smoke detectors or something.
Sure. But again, now that they've put this together, they've again made this lovely avenue. I mean, who as a smart lock manufacturer or as a garage door opening manufacturer, whatever it is, would think, gee, all of those people out there who would like to buy my products who already have an iPhone.
Yes.
Here's how I get the ins with them.
Exactly. And I think it's a smarter way to go than perhaps Google buying Nest and trying to build an environment around it. They're saying, here is the environment that you can talk to. Yep.
Build it and they will come.
Well, Apple's got the clout to say, we can do this.
Yeah, and they've already started doing it. So they're chatting with Sonos and Honeywell at the moment. So Sonos obviously do a lot of audio stuff. I'm not really sure. I know Honeywell does a lot of stuff. I'm not really sure specifically what
Honeywell are big into thermostats.
Yeah, yeah.
Really big into thermostats.
There's a couple other things though as well, isn't there?
Oh, Honeywell are huge.
Yeah,
they're into everything. Do you think Nest is going to be part of the SDK world?
Oh, it could be, though.
Expect not. So yeah, that was pretty cool though. And this concept of scenes as well. So the software that they're building into the phone being aware of a bunch of connected devices and that they should interact together.
Yeah.
So for example, I want to turn off I want to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Home, do what you need to do, you know, and turn off everything.
I can imagine it interfacing with Facebook because Facebook, of course, knows that you're going to be in a relationship before you are. So obviously it knows when to dim the lights, set the mood music and so on.
Oh, and there's another there's talk about Siri being more voice activated in a passive way. So
yes,
there was a very interesting connection that you could make from that.
Mm.
But we'll talk about that in a few moments. This is TechnoGaze here on Joy 94.9.
TechnoGaze.
Great shows, great topics, great radio. Joy 94.9.
We do like to meet the expectation of great topics, great radio here on Joy 94.9.
That's the idea anyway.
we try to keep it real, I guess.
Yes. We are talking all things Worldwide Developer Conference from Apple this week.
Yes.
Among other things. But this is what we're talking about at the moment.
Right now, yeah. Just to round off the previous discussion, so Siri has become more aware, perhaps you could say.
Siri is sentient?
A bit smarter at stuff.
She's now not having to be activated by any particular touch anymore. She can be...
What do you say? Is it, hey Siri?
Yes, I think it's Hey Siri.
Oh, geez, sounds like Hello Google or no, OK Google.
OK Google.
OK Google.
OK Google, pull out.
Go, go, gadget.
Well, why did you remember that particular phrase?
I don't know. It just stuck in my mind. But so this, we were talking before about scenes or, you know, you can set up your home automation system to respond to Siri now. Mm. So, hey, Siri.
Hey, Siri.
Turn out the lights.
Hey.
It's like you need Google to finish. You need Apple to start. I don't know. Oh, anyway.
My goodness.
A really bad.
Now, if it's always on, apparently it's it draws a lot of power. And we all know that iPhone's batteries are of finite space.
Yes.
So it's only going to be available when your iPhone, iPad or iPod Touch is plugged in. But I don't honestly, like if it's becoming, you know, the part of your home that you totally love and want to have around all the time, then I don't see that as a problem.
Well, you can have microphones everywhere picking up whatever you're saying.
Well, I guess. But, I mean, you know, like I've seen some in-store anyway. I don't have a Sonos at home, but you can control, say, for example, a Sonos using an iPad on your wall.
Mm.
That's just mounted there all the time. So if you could just walk past it and say, hey, Siri, can you put Joy on, you know, or, you know, pause that track or whatever. Like, that's pretty cool.
Can I make a bad joke?
Another one.
They made a good one.
Why are you even asking? It's like,
you never
that's not
usually
the
ask.
I have a question. Do Tom and Katie, are they an Android home? Because they couldn't be an iPhone home.
Why?
Because they'd be yelling, Siri, stop that. And the iPhone would say, I haven't done anything, Tom.
Siri. Oh, Siri. My daughter is Siri.
Oh, okay.
They can change
and,
that.
And they, didn't they split up anyway?
No, I hear they're getting back together again.
Are you for real?
Really?
My goodness. Now, obviously, phones and stuff are a part of it, but also the desktop computer.
Yes. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. So lots of connecting good stuff. Everything together was, I guess, a bit of a theme, wasn't it? So
it is. Less seams or fewer seams, more interactivity.
Yes.
More lock-in.
So your phone as well as... You shush. Your phone, as well as, you know, being something that you carry around in your pocket, is going to be a lot more connected to your computer, of course, if you are using a Mac.
Because
of lock-in. So it's going to be doing a little bit more of that. I'm excited.
The scenario they talked about is perhaps, and I think they even demoed this, right? They made a phone call from a computer. So you can say from your computer to say, make this call. And because you've got all your contacts synced up, it's actually quite seamless to do that. But the tricky bit about this is it's not just some VoIP provider or anything like that. It's actually making the call through your phone.
Yes.
So every phone number that you can dial from your phone is available from your computer and perhaps even from your iPad, I suspect. Although they didn't demo that.
Yeah, I wonder how that might tie in with things like, well, maybe not tie in, but how that will sort of affect things like Skype. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm on a phone plan where I don't feel at all concerned about what I'm using because I can never use that much calling and stuff like that.
Yep.
But, you know, I use Google Hangouts to talk to you guys and stuff. That's pretty cool. But, I mean, why? And because it's convenient.
Yes.
Why would you start using something like Skype if you could just use your phone with your computer and be done with it?
That's true.
I think we
do
need
to... You know
to,
what I mean? Like, people are going to start moving back to using their phone less as a thing that you hold up to your head and talk into and more...
Exactly.
More as the... You know,
breaks down the barrier of what is your phone used for. It's all you're trying to do is the act of talking to someone, right?
You want
whether
to communicate.
It be through Skype or through Google Hangouts or any other provider. All I want to actually do so, and this is a tricky bit for Apple is they've got all the information there in front of them, right? They've got your contacts. They've probably got the most comprehensive list of contacts
as well.
That you might want to have. So, hey, why not leverage that and turn it into something that... And they've really made the most of their... It's only something that Apple can do, right? Like, Apple are the only ones that have such a high PC sales a component to their... To their operation, plus the phones. Yeah, comparatively, absolutely.
I mean, that's the thing, because you could do all this sort of stuff in Windows if anyone could be bothered buying a Windows phone, but their sales are so low that it just doesn't seem like they're going to bother integrating that sort of thing, which is why buying Skype is such a good move for them.
And Apple's advantage is that they have both the mobile device and the desktop device in terms of operating systems.
Yes.
Whereas if you look at Google, yes, they've got the mobile device, but they don't have the desktop. Windows have got the desktop, they don't have the mobile.
Yeah, the Chromebook is not setting the world on fire.
No.
With sales, although there were some battery problems with one of them, wasn't there, I think? Like, they could be setting that world on fire. But
was this a halt and catch fire?
Halt and catch fire. Of course, it's not just integration. I mean, all that sounds pretty amazing, and it is. You know, a few months ago, I saw the most amazing demo. It made me think of this demo, and it was an app called Happy Together. And the way that it works is, if you're listening to a track on your phone, it's an experiment at the moment. But this is the sort of stuff that you can expect to see in this new integrated environment. Mm. Listening to a track, rah rah rah, walk in the house, and we're like, I'm kind of enjoying this track or podcast or, you know, JoyStream or whatever like that. I can just touch it to my computer, and my computer picks up where my phone left off. I don't have to pause. It's not some weird syncing thing. Mm. I don't have to save it somewhere and then go and open up some other app. It just does the thing.
Which is fantastic. So my question is, when is Apple going to bring this to Apple TV? Because there are times where I've been looking at something on YouTube, let's say, and all I want to do is throw it onto the screen. Mm-hmm. I can do my Chromecast. Throw it onto the screen, and tapping your device onto it would be fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, and you can kind of do that now. You know, whenever you play something on your phone, if you're near your Apple TV, then a little thingy comes up that says play it here instead. Or if you've got Bluetooth speakers or whatever it is, there are lots and lots of things that you can do. But that means, I've got to pause it. I've got to do the thing. It's got a buffer and stuff like that. All I want to do is literally, like you said, just, I don't know, tap it, point it, I don't know, just do something that isn't, fiddle. Mm. I just want to be able to do that right away.
I mean, when Apple TV and AirPlay came out in the first place, that was pretty, forthcoming in itself. Like, there was that leap back then was sort of a good progression forward.
We kind of take it for granted now, maybe not for granted, but, you know, it was like last week, it's like, ooh, do the Chromecast, and, you know, other people going, ooh, the Roku, or whatever, and I'm like, well, but I don't know. It's just people, it's kind of still bubbling away there.
Yeah. Now, other features that perhaps some Android users have been saying, well, we've had this for ages, but finally have come across onto the Apple device. Third-party keyboards have been opened up now.
Yes, including swipe or swipe-like keyboards.
Yes. So.
Also predictive words, not just predictive text, like where you start misspelling something and it auto-corrects it for you, which I'm a big fan of, but whole words. And there's actually, you know, I saw a great screenshot. Someone was going something, something gay, and the first three suggestions were marriage, rights, and something else.
And
I don't care what the other something else was. Yeah. I thought it was cool.
I was a dedicated little fapple, and I watched the entire keynote speech from start to finish, and they did a demo of this. Not live. No, I wasn't that dedicated, I'm afraid. But they demoed this with, and they described what it's doing behind the scenes, which doesn't surprise me at all, because I think that even the suggestions you get for, you know, autocorrect today is quite contextual. So it actually figures out what you're writing, and it might choose the other word that it thinks makes sense in that sentence. Mm. They've done a lot of work in this predictive wording component to understand, A, what is it that what style of language? Say if you're in a more formal, talking more formally, for example, the word that is suggested is probably a more formal version of it, versus, you know, if you're just talking to a mate. That's some of the trickery that they're implementing into this.
Yeah, there's it's sort of it kind of does a little bit of that already. You can kind of see sometimes that if you're a bit of an autocorrect watcher. You can kind
Which
of
you have it. To be these days, right?
Because otherwise you can get into deep, deep trouble.
smash out some words, yeah. We just got a text from listener Matt from Doncaster who says, what I'd really like is AirPlay that actually works.
It relies on Wi-Fi, doesn't it?
It does.
So the strength of your Wi-Fi is important.
That's right. How much sort of, you know, noise and garbage there might be interfering with your connection, stuff like that. It's kind of tricky.
I suspect it's also quite bandwidth intensive. So if you've got if you do have interference in your environment, then that can cause problems. Oh, assuming, of course, that you're actually connected over Wi-Fi. Like if it's a network connection from point A to point B, then that's a different thing again.
Yeah. I personally have not had a huge problem with it. It's not to say that it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But,
it can be a bit sort of, it can cut out sometimes and that sort of thing.
And it's got to be one of the most frustrating things, especially when the sound cuts out. I can kind of forgive some dodgy pictures, but bad sound.
Yeah, if you're really into a track or something and you're
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, among all these other exciting things, there was a great new thing, which is called Swift, which is a new programming language sort of new that kind of it adopts bits and pieces from
Objective-C?
Yeah, yeah, but...
It's almost like it's a JavaScript of the Apple world,
the
right?
JavaScript of the Apple world. But so there are hipsters talking about it every Friday at meetups and stuff.
There's oodles of libraries. There's a new library to...
CoffeeScript. Oh, yeah.
So Swift is a sort of a faster to production... how would you describe it? It's a quicker way of developing apps, I guess.
Yeah, and it takes away a lot of the stuff that... that used to annoy people. One of the things, it's super fast. It's got all kinds of... it's native to Cocoa and Cocoa Touch. So Cocoa is the
environment
for Mac OS X, and Cocoa Touch, of course, is for iOS devices. The thing that's really exciting about this, though, is that it has this environment... this sort of interface called Swift's Playground Development Environment. And Xcode is actually going to include some more of that stuff. It actually runs the code for you while you're writing it in a live preview. So you don't have to sit there and try and compile it or anything.
And it gives you little hints down the right-hand side. It sort of said, this is, as a programmer, this is what the result of, say if you've got two strings concatenated together, but they're just constant strings.
Mm. Yep.
I've gone into my programmer nerd space.
Goodness.
Which is a very comfortable space, I might add. It will tell you what that string will equal because it knows all the details of it. And it will also, as part of the playground, and they demoed this, it'll give you this timeline function where you can say, okay, if I was to run this app, this little bit of code, and I can move the cursor back and forth, and that, of course, causes the variables or whatever that have been worked on throughout your code to change. And it actually presents it can present graphs based on values.
Here's
from
what the performance looks like, here's all this other stuff. It's really cool. One of the other great things about it, which, of course, isn't as splashy and pretty to look at, but apparently it's designed specifically to prevent you from making some fairly common stuff-ups. So those can often lead to, you know, things like security flaws and memory leakage problems and stuff like that, you know, obviously.
It sounds a bit like it's a 3.5 generation language rather than a 4GL.
Right.
In terms of the smarts in there and wrapping it up.
Yeah. I guess, yeah. They claim that it is going to be ready for prime time straight out of the gate, and in fact, you can if you're a developer, you can get amongst it now. And there's one more thing in the preview that I was really excited. One more.
Sorry,
thing.
Steve. What?
Sorry, I'm channeling Steve here. So Yosemite, which is the name of the new version of Mac OS X, is going to replace a whole completely superficially. Going to replace a whole bunch of the interface with flatter icons and stuff. And Helvetica is the font, so no more of the font that we've come to know and love.
And Jonny Ivy, of course, was mentioned during the demo. Off this, and he made the trash can really flat and beautiful.
Oh, for goodness sakes, of course he did. He makes everything beautiful. There are a lot of people grumbling, going, oh, but isn't that font a little bit too lightweight or whatever? So we'll see how that goes, you know, just like they did with iOS 7. And it seems like there are some hints that there will be some Retina display capable IMAX and cinema displays.
Mm-hmm.
Finally.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's about time they got on the Retina bandwagon for their massive 28-inch
screens. You've been waiting for that for a while.
I have. It's too late now.
You're not going to go out and buy one tomorrow?
I've moved on. Well,
you've gotten over.
You're listening to TechnoGaze here on Joy 94.9, where we're covering some of the latest in technology gadgets and consumer.
Commuter?
Well, you can commute while you listen to us, I guess.
Yes.
On a Saturday. We'll be back with more in a few moments.
TechnoGiz.
That's right. We do have the freshest sounds, especially at 7 o'clock in the morning
on a Sunday. That's about as fresh as it gets for me.
If you're like me and you have the your clock radio set to Joy, and it just so happens to not know the day of the week, and you get woken up at 7 o'clock, you may well
throw something at it.
I have an alarm clock that now understands that there are two alarms, and you can have one for the weekdays and one for the weekends. It's the best purchase I've ever made.
That's all very good if you remember to set it properly.
Or if the power doesn't go out and you have to reset it. But yeah, 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. Tune
that's
in to
dedication.
To GPS.
Mm.
We're talking tech here. It's 14 minutes to one on Joy 94.9, and we're talking about the latest in technology gadgets. We've probably done Apple to death, haven't we?
I think we have.
I'm sure you two could squeeze out a little bit more, but anyway.
There's no shortage, anyway, of roundups and stuff about WWDC on the internet, but I'm sure we can post things on our Facebook page and other things on social media, and I don't think we've begged you yet to join us on Facebook.
We do enjoy every new Facebook follower that we get.
And we're magically close to that triple-digit number. Ooh. So please, people out there, like us.
And every click of that like button gives us a warm, fuzzy feeling. So please go ahead and be liberal with the use of the like button.
And that is, of course,
don't be
too liberal. Joy949 on Facebook.
Only for us, though. Like, don't go like to every single page and start liking it, because then we're just a mess.
The Joy pages, though.
All the Joy pages can be liked. Yeah.
Yes. Like them all over the place.
So what else do we have in tech news?
China.
What have they been up to?
They've been shutting down Google services in China.
Again? Still?
Well, they did that a little while ago. Google pulled out of China. And since then, I think sites like Facebook and stuff haven't been easily accessed.
Yes.
But Google services a few days ago were shut down. So things like Gmail, Google Translate.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
And, you know, they kind of do it occasionally, but there's a certain something that happens every year that that they get extra antsy about, and that is the anniversary of the Tiananmen Massacre. Mm.
And that's coming up to the 25th year anniversary this year.
That was the 25th anniversary, this week.
And, of course, even the word Tiananmen entered into a Google search just yields no results at all. Speaking of Facebook, my sister actually just returned from China and a few other places, and for her entire time in China, she actually had to post saying, "Hey, sorry, unable to post from here. I'll see you in a few days." You know,
I'm going to a Facebook blackout zone.
It's a bit disturbing when you think about it from that point of view.
What's interesting is some of the feedback from Chinese people posting on local websites. So people would post locally, and of course the Chinese government would pull these posts down, but for a period of time these posts were visible. And some of the posts that have been read and seen are things like, why does the government bother? Do they think we're stupid and things like this, implementing this type of censorship?
Well, there's perhaps with the general wealth increasing in China, perhaps education levels are also increasing. I wonder if they can stop the flow of just information, as in even just people talking to each other about these things.
That's
causes
right.
people to understand it better.
That's right. People from China are increasingly getting, more globally aware, more interested in things that are happening outside. And no, they're not necessarily stupid. You know what? Maybe that's not even the goal. To say, well, it's not happening is silly. No one would believe that. But to say, we know that you're looking for it and we will stop you anyway, that's a message in itself.
Yeah. There's more threat.
And it's a counter message to that we want to encourage, trade and things like that, and a little bit of mini capitalism, if you like, but they're still trying to shut down and control the communications channels.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Well, and they're doing it.
Yeah.
The internet, at one point in time, everyone sort of thought, oh, it's impossible to do that sort of thing. But, when you do have control over the connections into your country, into your state, then that's what you can do.
Something else that China is able to do, or says that they're able to do, is have a lot of influence and interest in the operating systems that are in popular use in the country. And in fact, as an example, I think a lot about, browser compatibility and stuff like that. So, of course, we were talking before about browser statistics and operating system statistics, especially when we were talking about how XP was getting put out to pasture finally this year. Mm-hmm. We were saying how, pretty much nobody else is using XP. It's in the single-digit percentage size, except for, interestingly enough, China. Where it's super popular because they have their own version of Windows over there that they had a little bit more control over. And
perhaps it's more pirated over there as well.
Well, that's the theory, is that it is very easily found you know, falling off backs of trucks all over the fine country. But
bits falling off the end of the internet.
But get a load of this, right? So Windows 8, which of course is more secure, a lot of other things, stuff like that, is still supported, unlike Windows XP, etc. They spent 90 seconds on television. A whole segment on the news talking about the security of Windows 8 and talking about how they're going to do their own, because it says Microsoft will no longer open its Windows 8 source code to the Chinese government. But, you know, we're scared of big data. Oh, we're worried about big data. Oh, maybe the US will be spying on us. What's going on?
Pot, kettle.
Yeah, it's valid to be worried that the US is spying on you, but also, guys, like, I don't know, just come on.
It's written well. The result is that they're looking at another option, right? So I think they're looking at Ubuntu.
They are looking at a special version of Ubuntu, which is called Kylin, I think, or Kylin. I'm not a speaker of the language, so I'm afraid I possibly have got it wrong.
Right.
But they have been working on that for at least a year, if not more.
Well, they started rolling out in March of last year, and some government offices, instead of using Windows, they're using Ubuntu as the operating system.
Okay. That's right.
Which is probably quite good for Ubuntu.
Well,
for Linux as such.
If it's made more usable for the masses, then...
That makes me uncomfortable, honestly. Really? So Canonical, right, like they're a company now, so that's who's in charge of Ubuntu. But, I mean, the whole point of Ubuntu is supposed to be about unity.
Right.
Okay, so that's the name, I think the word Ubuntu is about unity and cohesion and stuff. It's an open source thing. Linux is supposed to be a lot of things. Linux is not supposed to be about propping up a corrupt government that wants to... do horrible things to its citizens.
Well, the same
argument. I don't feel great. I feel very uncomfortable.
The same argument could be said for any government, though. Really, it's just the
but pandering. It's just not cool. It's not the same as, well, we won't stop you from buying our products. Like that's.
So, Is the new story here that Canonical were actually working directly with?
Well, I believe they are.
They've partnered with government agencies to do that.
I think the government agencies are on their way to stop this podcast.
If you can hear it, I'm not sure if you can.
I can see SAS rappelling down the windows, whatever it is.
This is one of my favourite things about listening to Joy sometimes, though, is you know, hearing the little ding-ding of things going up the street, you know, trams and stuff. It's pretty cute.
We're right next to
Bourke
Street, aren't we? So pretty lucky in that sense. What else is there?
Office.
Microsoft Office.
On Android tablets.
iOS was the first one.
Interestingly,
to get...
still not on Windows mobile devices. Why?
Because there aren't many of them out there.
What's the point? No one's buying them. Just give up.
Basically.
It's such a shame because, you know, like, and I've said this, and I know everyone sort of laughs and goes, Windows 8. I really enjoy using Windows 8. And I've often thought to myself that, you know, if I was made of money and I could be bothered buying another tablet device, that I might consider a Windows tablet.
I think I recall our good friend Jason last week actually giving it his tick of approval.
Yeah.
The Android person that he is. Windows phone. And, you know, the interface is pretty slick. It's nothing like what the original Windows 6.5 was, that very dodgy, oh, my God, I need to... make a big screen a little screen.
Well, start button, bottom left-hand corner.
Yeah. Which you need a stylus to actually just touch in the right spot. We're still getting memberships.
We are.
My gosh.
So
that's fantastic.
Vince the dog from Rosebud has put pause to keyboard and signed up for a membership. Now, I'm not sure how much joy Vince the dog will get out of some of the prizes, but Vince the dog is totally eligible to win that prize because even though Radiothon has finished up, you are still eligible to win some of those great prizes all the way to the end of the month.
Shall we try and translate that into dog speak?
We should give Vince a special woof.
Good boy, Vince. Who's a good boy? Vince is a good boy. That's right.
Oh, you're listening to TechnoGaze here on Joy 94.9. We'll be back with more cat and dog speak right after this.
TechnoGaze!
Joy 94.9, this is TechnoGaze. We're talking tech. We're talking to dogs and cats.
That's right.
And it's 4 minutes to one. We're almost done.
Special shout out to the Pets Allowed crew.
Yes.
Friday afternoons, I think midday to 1 o'clock.
Yes.
if you are a fan of pets, or in fact, if you are Vince from Rosebud, who just signed up for a pet membership, Vince is a dog.
Yes. tune in at Pets Aloud. They talk all things pets. Now, what else have we got to finish off with? I think we're almost at the end of the end of the show, aren't we?
Yep. Do we have to tell our general manager about the class lawsuit that we're about to file against the Register?
That's right. So I was checking out the Register homepage, as you do, and there was a headline talking interestingly about browser statistics for adult entertainment websites. Finding that Apple devices are the most popular, or as they said it, fanboys are the biggest pervs, according to the Register, who then said Apple more like Fapple. And I was like, you guys.
What? They've used our name?
That's our shtick, you guys. Come on.
That is our name. How dare they?
The Fapple. Look, if you're a Fapple or a Android or whatever you are.
You started off as a techno-gaze Fapple. None of this Register stuff.
No, that's right. Come on down. So, but yeah, I did think that was interesting news, though, that Apple dominates in a lot of markets, and apparently that's one of them.
Well, I knew it was something about the two of you, you know.
Mm-mm.
Maybe we're moonlighting. Who knows?
As web browsers. Browsing the internet.
Interwebs. Now, one other thing that caught your attention, I think, Michael.
The CIA?
They've made it to Twitter.
Yes.
Finally.
They've tweeted more often than I have. They've, as of about an hour ago, they had one tweet, but they're on the second one. And their tweet was, "We can neither confirm nor deny that this is our first tweet."
Oh,
I loved.
I was pretty sure it might have been their first, but yeah, okay, whatever. They also look forward to sharing great hashtag unclassified content with us. Mm. Oh, boy.
Now, that's all we have time for today. If you've missed any part of the show, or perhaps you'd like to peruse previous episodes, you can do so by getting onto our website, joy.org.au/technogaze. Coming up next is a Joy News Bulletin, and followed up by Cravings with Pete Dillon. Of course, he's getting his winter woolies on this episode, and the Truffle Hound is going to make an appearance. Flav Exchange as well, I believe. So stay tuned for lovely food and beverage talk. Catch you next week. Thank you for coming on, Raina, of course.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you as well, Michael.
Thank you. It was fun.
And have a great weekend. We'll catch you later.
Myself into the future.
Technogaze on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.